I remember when I was a boy at Cranbrook, they told me one day to carry some hot poles down to the baker, Mr. down in Cranbrook. Well, I loaded up these hot poles on the cart, half a cord, and you'd got to mind how you loaded them to get a half a cord of chopped hot poles on a cart. But anyhow, I got them on the cart and sauntered away down in Cranbrook Town with these two old oxen. Just round the corner down Stone Street, on the left, that's where his shop used to be. And I had to carry all them hot poles round into his bakehouse, an armful at the time. That took me a long time. The old oxen, they stood out in the street chewing their cud. They didn't seem to worry about anything. When I'd finished, they were still there, and I took them home again. I used to have plenty of room. Everybody was afraid of them because they got such great big horns, but they wouldn't hurt anybody. Hmm.
Some of the old wagoners told me they had special little remedies and tricks to make the horses work better or be more disciplined.
Oh, they used to have all sorts of remedies and secrets of their own, you know. Well, of course, we all know that there was a secret for travelling those great big stallion horses. In the, what I mean, say, in the breeding time, they wouldn't go along with any ordinary person, you know. They saw something interesting, they'd go there if you wasn't properly prepared for it. I remember a man telling me once that a chap went down to the field to catch one and have it home, and that swung his head round and tore his inside right out. They would, they're very, very vicious. But of course he wasn't properly tackled up. And that is why they always wore a line on the off side of a stallion to stop him from swinging his head round towards you. But they'd always got their, you know, their secrets. Well, the real secret of it is from a foal, when a foal is born. It's no secret today because you can buy books with it all printed in there. And when that foal is born, it's got on its tongue lays what they call the spearmint. And that is the first thing that mare will go for as soon as she has dropped that foal. And 9 times out of 10, if everything is all right, that mare will stand up and drop that foal. They don't lay down like another animal. But that's how they do them, and so do the zebras and all that abroad. I've seen pictures of them, you know, bringing their foal into the world. But same as I say, that is that little thing, and that's the first thing that mare will go for. She'll add that and she eats it. In those books that I've read about it, they said that they understood there was something in the colt's mouth, they said, but they'd never found it, and they didn't know what to come of it, but I know. Same as I say, that is the first thing that mare will do. She clears that colt's mouth so that it can breathe, and she eats that. Well, now, if anybody was clever enough and quick enough to get that and run it down to an oil, and put some oil of rhodium or aniseed along with it. Rhodium's the best thing. And it will run down to an oil, and always have a little of that along with you. Put a little on the horse's bit or anything, and a little bit on your clothes somewhere, and that's all right. He'll never attack you. That is the secret of travelling then. Well, now, I don't know if ever you've heard of that book. I have a book I was lucky enough to get out of it, and it's called The Pattern Beneath the Fur, and that is very, very interesting for anybody to read, all about the old methods in the West Country of these old men, where they used to believe about these here ghosts and one thing and the other. But they must have had some very, very hard old times, but whoever they used to get through with it.
Did you hear any of the things that were in that book down in Kent?
Yeah.
Did you have the same sort of practices?
Pardon?
Did you do the same sort of things down here as you read about in that book?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, not quite. They used to get an old frog, you know, down there. That was their idea.
What, you did it down here, or that was the West Country?
Yes.
Here?
Yes.
Mm. You keep quiet.
It's better. Would I pick it up?
I had to pick him up.
Yes, well...
We'll have him on the tape, that's the only problem.
He's heard me.
Right. Could you tell me about the frog? What your what you did with it?
Eh?
What you did, you used the frogs, did you?
Well, no, I hadn't. I never bothered about that. But that's what they used to use down in the West Country, that old toad. You find him under an old log of wood. And they used to chuck him away, kill him and chuck him away somewhere till he rotted and got the bone out of him.
Mm.
It's more or less like a tiny wishbone, similar to the wishbone in a chicken, in a bird.
Mm.
Get that, and they used to powder it up and put a little something along with it. That will work. That'll do the same thing.
Mm.
And then there was a theory about it... if you kept it, you know, there was always something happened to you. You had bad health or some fine thing or other. And I read of an old horseman, he took it up the garden and buried it.
Mm.
And afterwards, well, their health improved. And but he said it was never the same, not with the animals.
Mm.
It is one or two of the secrets, I dare say, perhaps. Other people have got other methods. I wouldn't know about that, but that is one, the old, the true method, same as I say, the cult spearmint. Now, that spearmint, if you was going to use it for a stallion horse, it must be from a filly foal, the female. And if you was wanted, well, you got it with a horse coat, you'd get them as well. But that would never work so safely with a stallion. You could never be sure. But providing you've got the filly's spearmint, he would never harm you.
Mm.
But if you'd got the colt's spearmint, and you've got a horse that was apt to kick and be bad tempered, if you rubbed a little of that oil on it, well, then when you went out in the morning, that would behave itself. That would keep it quiet all day.
Mm. Any special remedies for oxen? Or any special...
No, no. No, there was nothing of that, not with the old bullocks. They just, you know, same as I say, started them wherever you started them, so you kept them there. And then, of course, naturally, they knew their place, you see, they knew their name. You said yay to them. I always used to say yay to them to come to you. When we used to break them in, we used to have a stick. Oh, about 5-6 feet long. And have a little spoke in the end of it. And when you said yay to them, give them a prick in the shoulder, that off bullet. Well, of course, that used to make him shoot forward. And that used to naturally bring them to you. That's how they learnt that. And they never forgot that either. I know when we've been harvesting sometimes, more latterly when we got them to work, we used to use a whip. But if when we was harvesting, you used to stick the whip in the back of the wagon and carry on picking up the sheaves and that. And if you wanted to sit up, just pull a straw out of a sheaf and tell them you could guide them with that straw just as if you've got a whip or a goad. They never forgot that spike. But we never had no bother with them unless in the summertime when they... Warble fly was about, that was the only time.
See?
And you'd soon know if he was about. We never heard it. Horses never hear it, but those bullocks do. All of a sudden you'd see one of their tails go up and they'd been to wave that to and fro in the air. And that wouldn't be long for the others, they'd done the same. Then you've got to look out because they was soon going somewhere. The only thing to do was to keep the old bullock fastest, so they kept coming round in circles. So sure, you let them break away from me, go offered, well, you'd lost them. They'd make for a pond or wood or anything. Anything to get away from the fly. But we never had much bother with them. We didn't use to work them in the summertime when it was very, very hot and that. And used to manage with the horses. And
where did you get the oxen from? Were there oxen dealers?
Well, they came from Wales, those what we had. They was Welsh runts. That is a breed of its own. They are black. The insides of their mouths are black and their eyes are black. They're black all over, those old oxen that we had. They hadn't got a white hair in them that I know. They was absolutely black all over. They was looking ever so fierce, but they weren't. They was quiet enough.
I was. Sorry.
Years ago, they used to use almost any bullock in an ox team. Of course, some farmers used to take a pride in them and have all Hurryfords, all those white-faced ones. Another one would have all black ones, and another one would have all red ones. Used to be a team at Glastonbury at Gilders, they was black ones. And a team at Hawkhurst, they was red ones. Under the Pipers, they used to have some. We broke in some red ones, two big old red steers at Sissinghurst Castle. And he bought four from Mr. Sale up at the park here in Tenterden years ago. And Lamb and Lion, one pair was, and the other was Earl and Marquis, I think. They belonged to Mr. the auctioneer, and we had them to work on the farm to finish breaking them in, and when they went back up there to his farm, nobody wouldn't work them, so he fatted them out, and they was killed. But we kept Lamb and Lion. They worked on the farm for several years.
How did they get the... Were they Welsh? Did you buy them from Wales, or did you breed the oxen?
Well, I don't know if anybody about here bred them. They used to come right up from Wales. Yeah, they was bred in Wales. Yeah. It was a heavy bullock. If you let them keep, you know, get their full growth before you started working them. And it was around about 3 years old. They used to be a good big bullock then.
Mm-hmm. How would you get them from Wales?
Yes. We had four youngsters from Wales, what we broke in. But old Winston Winder, they came from Coomwell's farm at Gilders. Under Mr. I don't know, I suppose in the first place he must have got them from Wales. He'd got others besides them, but when Mr. first took Goddard's Green Farm, he had those two oxen come there with him.
How did you get, did they bring them by train from Wales, or did they...
Well, I suppose some of it was come by train, but in those days they used to walk them miles, you know. They would walk them as far as they could and then put them on rail. Poor old things, they used to have a time of it on rail in those days sometimes. They'd get shunted off and perhaps stop their hours before they had anything to eat or drink. I've had them when they've come off rail sometimes, they would eat anything, almost starved. Of course, things are different today. Everything travels faster, doesn't it?
Did you have to shoe oxen? Did you have to shoe them, like horses?
They used to, years ago. Oh, yes, put little plates on them. Just nail it to the outside of the hoof. You wouldn't join their claws together, you see. Because when they walk, they move those claws, and they... Yes, you used to have a little plate. And I've heard my father say that the old oxen got used to it. When they used to go to the ford to be shot, a lot of them would lay down. They used to have some straw down there. They used to lay down to have these little plates tacked on them. But I never remember them being shot. I have sometimes ploughed up the little old ox shoes where they come off and they've lost them. Little flat plate. Three little oars round the outside of it.
What was the normal sort of number? Was it usually two oxen in a team? Or did you plough, did you ever use four or...?
Oh, the eight was a full team. Mm. Yes. It was to always think that two of them, you know, averaged one horse, but no one horse had never pulled two of them away. They were far more powerful than any one horse. Two of them together, you got them properly worked. If ever they got more than they could pull, you know, they would kneel down, lay their chin on the ground.